As long as you mention that, where are we right now in terms of predictors of response to EGFR inhibitors?
Well, we're at a point where some data are starting to come out suggesting areas that might be fruitful to look at. So there was a paper reported in 2005 by Moroni that showed that patients whose tumors have amplification of the EGFR gene will be more likely to respond to EGFR antibodies. So that was one clue. Another clue are some data that if your tumor has a RAS gene mutation, that you're not likely to respond to an antibody against EGFR. And the reason for that makes perfect sense, because RAS, when it's turned on by mutation, causes stimulation of downstream signaling pathways. And RAS is downstream from the receptor. So the receptor stimulates RAS, which then stimulates the downstream effects, causing proliferation of the tumor cells. And if RAS is turned on, it doesn't matter what you do at the level of the receptor because the signal's already turned on downstream. So it makes sense that a RAS gene mutation might make you resistant to the antibodies against EGFR. So some clues are starting to come out that might serve as predictors, but we've got a long way to go, and there's a lot of work going on looking at different aspects of this pathway. You know, one thing I should note as an aside, that with the small molecule tyrosine kinase inhibitors in lung cancer, for example, one determinant of their effectiveness has been identification of mutations in the tyrosine kinase domain of the receptor. Where these tyrosine kinase inhibitors, these small molecule inhibitors like erlotinib and gefitinib, bind to the receptor. That has not proven to be a predictor of response to cetuximab in colon cancer. And in fact, very few colon cancers have these mutations in the tyrosine kinase domain that are present in a percentage of lung cancers.
What about predictors of response to bevacizumab?
We're even further away from understanding bevacizumab response predictors. First of all, there don't appear to be any clinical predictors of response that have been identified in any of the colon cancer studies with bevacizumab. There was some data presented from a lung cancer study by Afshin Dalati at ASCO this year suggesting that expression of ICAM, a cell adhesion molecule, might predict for response or for benefit from bevacizumab. But this is preliminary data and a lead, but there's a lot more study that needs to be done.
What is your take right now in terms of why bevacizumab is helpful? The thought came out that in some way it's a general potentiator of chemotherapy, and maybe that's why we're not able to find a predictor of response. What are your thoughts on that right now?
I am an adherent to that position that bevacizumab seems to, through its perturbation of vascular, of endothelium, that it seems to potentiate the effect of chemotherapy. And whether that's enhanced chemotherapy delivery and to what extent that is to the tumor by alteration of interstitial pressures, I'm not sure at this point. But I do think that's a primary mechanism of the effect of bevacizumab. Now, there have been some data to suggest, well, maybe there are VEGF receptors on tumor cells, and maybe it's a direct tumor effect. My suspicion is that that will turn out to be less of an important effect, but I do leave that up to the vascular biologists to sort out and give us clues. But as a follow-up to your question about whether this impacts our ability to find predictors of response or resistance, I still think regardless of its mechanism, it does have a target. And when there's a target, there's a potential for resistance. There is a mechanism for resistance. So I do think that we still need to be looking for mechanism and in finding the mechanism, clues to predict who will or will not benefit.